thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Zoom.
24 hours. Yeah, we're the Urban Sports Zoom. We're on.
And we're on time,
on
too.
Time, man.
Both of us.
It's been a while.
Yes, it has
it
been.
It has. Really has. It's been a while. It's been a while that we had the dynamic duo on time and ready to rock and roll.
Yep. Strike at 7:30.
I know, right at 7:30. I feel like a professional.
Yeah, man, we was riding. Riding, ready to go, man. Having a very interesting conversation off air.
Yeah, exactly.
On a subject that we'll touch on later.
You definitely will. And also, you were talking about Planet Fitness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there. I think it's the funniest gym in the world. They feed people pizzas and whatnot. You know, they feed the clientele pizzas.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they do. It's like the most... Well, they say, gym, period.
Well, they say it's a gym to make people feel
judgment free,
and not be conscious of their body or their progression on their, fitness journey. But I think sometimes you need that pressure. You know what I mean? Make you be like, man, I need to step it up. I need to go a little harder.
It's a gym, right?
Yeah, it's a gym.
Your goal is to what?
Lose weight.
Get in shape. Lose weight, right?
Yeah.
Pizzas don't help. They just don't help. You know what I mean? And I agree with you. All to me, when you're in a gym, you need to be judged. That makes that entices you to do right, to do better, to be in shape.
Yeah, man. But anyway, man, we didn't introduce ourselves.
Yeah, I'm Wally.
Will T.
Yeah. Before I get into the show, I want to have something to say. One of my dearest friends, coworker, she had a fight with cancer. For about 4 or 5 years, she passed away over the weekend. Belle Warren, she was very important to me, very influential in terms of my work life and my 9-to-5 job. She always had faith in me, always had a lot of respect for me. I thought too much respect, to be honest with you. She always tell me about, you know, folks at work or whoever I would talk about. She was like, Wally, they don't appreciate you. And I really did appreciate you, Belle. RIP, rest in paradise. Love you. Take care.
Rest in peace.
So, you want to hit the normal?
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right. I was watching this game actually at the bar. Duke defeated UVA in Virginia. I thought Virginia had the lead in this game. But did you watch the game a little bit?
I watched it up until about the 6-minute mark when Virginia had, I think, like a 12-point lead. Something like that. And I was like, oh, this game's over.
Yeah, exactly.
I like, this game's over. With the way that Virginia plays defense, and, you know, they were scoring relatively easily for the most part. And I was like, this game's over. So I turned it off and got the little guy ready for bed. Then
yeah,
I turned
that's
it.
Will's blessing.
Yeah. Then I turned it, then, you know, got him ready for bed and turned the TV back on. And I was shocked to find that Virginia lost.
Yeah, Virginia had this game in hand. Then Duke started hitting some threes. They made a run. You know, Coach K and those boys in Duke, and especially those boys in Duke. Especially just look in terms of what Duke does traditionally over the X amount of years. You see them make that run when they're down. This it was impressive because you saw the freshmen pretty much hold it down for them. I keep forgetting. I'm gonna say Winslow and the other guard play the point guard. I keep forgetting his name. It'll come to me later. But he made a couple big threes, and the team went on a nice little run. This Duke team has all the potential and talent in the world to make it to the Final Four. Virginia, I remember you saying last week when we were talking about Virginia, can this team win a national championship? Can this team go to the Final Four? And you were talking about how they go in scoring droughts. They have a great defense. They have a scoring drought. Well, that happened against Duke. You know, though, like you said, when you watched the game, they were scoring at ease. But you know, as the game went on, they went on that drought, and Duke went on their nice little run.
Yeah, man. Duke, you know, this is a win that Duke needed, you know, coming off of the loss to Pittsburgh and then they beat Notre Dame, correct? Or they lost to Notre Dame. Yeah, they lost to Notre Dame. This is definitely a win that they needed to kind of keep them within the top 10,
mm-hmm.
keep them in the top 10 of the national rank at the coaches' polls. Virginia shouldn't, you know, they really shouldn't hold their head over this loss. Duke's a pretty good team, but they should, if anything, they could be disappointed in the way they played down the stretch, because a team with championship aspirations like Virginia has, you know, that's a little bit troubling. But, you know, still they have a lot of time to get things correct. They played North Carolina.
And they won. They beat North Carolina.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're still a strong team. And beat North Carolina in North Carolina and at a North Carolina team that has been playing good basketball. Well, they did lose before. Did Carolina lose?
Lost to Louisville.
Yeah, but still, to beat a team on the road, a team that was number 12 in the nation, still impressive in its own right. Is UVA still the best team in the ACC?
Yeah, I still think they're head and shoulders above everyone else. I'm not going to say head and shoulders, but I think they're slightly better than Duke. And, you know, Louisville's not far behind North Carolina, and you also have Syracuse, Miami playing pretty good ball. But, you know, the true test for them will be the ACC tournament to see how they handle playing, you know, the better teams in the ACC on a consistent back-to-back basis, and also how their offense holds up and their defense is able to sustain if they go through long periods without baskets.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I would have said easily, even if they lost to Duke in Cameron, I would say, like, yeah, they're still the best team in the ACC. But to lose to Duke at home, I don't know. Like, maybe this could be, like, maybe I'm starting to think now that maybe Duke is the best team in the ACC.
I still don't. I'm not there yet. I think Duke may have superior talent at this point, but I don't think they're the best team. I still think UVA team defense, the way they move the ball laterally out on the wing, they move without the ball against zone defenses. Uh-huh. I still think they're the best team. Duke does have better talent at this point. But, you know, like we said, it's just, you know, starting to heat up. And, you know, as terms college basketball, mm-hmm. we're starting to get to that point of the year where everyone should be really excited.
Yeah, especially somebody like me.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm you know, I'll be excited because it's March Madness is coming. I take 2 days off work. I just watched all the games at my disposal. Thanks to the agreement, TNT, CBS, True TV.
Yeah.
It's the greatest thing in the world for somebody like myself.
Yeah, I mean, it's great because they essentially have started to stagger the games at different times so you don't miss any of the games and you can flip between all the channels. So it's great thing.
And that dude's name is Tyrus Jones. That's the point guard who was hitting the threes against Duke. And Cook had a good game, too.
Yeah.
Cook went high, got high. Let's go down to pregame. We went to from UVA. Well, no, I'm saying it real quick. So do you think UVA is the Final Four team?
Yes, okay. I'm not backing off of the declaration. I still think they're a potential Final Four team.
Yeah, I see UVA still a potential Final Four team. One loss, you know, doesn't hurt you. Though I am starting to think more highly of Duke, but I think UVA is still a Final Four team. Still, to me, they're overall one seed. I mean, at this point in time, they're overall one seed. That's not going to change my mind. And I think they will be an overall one seed. Going down to pregame, Maryland got crushed by Ohio State, 80-56.
Yeah, that, you know, Maryland had prior, you know, the preceding weeks, Maryland had been playing really good basketball, specifically in the Big Ten against Big Ten competition. To see them take a step back like this is a little bit troubling because, you know, they were hot. This has been a Maryland team that's, you know, that they've been progressively getting better as the Big Ten season has gone. I still feel funny saying Maryland Big Ten has gone on, but, you know, they see them take this bad of a loss against Ohio State. Ohio State team that's pretty good, but no one would consider world beaters by any stretch of the imagination. But ultimately, I still think Maryland, they'll be a tournament team, and I think that, you know, maybe this lights the fire for them going down that back into the Big Ten schedule.
Yeah, I posed a question, why is Maryland, it seems like Maryland is struggling, on our Urban Sports Team Facebook page. My man George Templeton said, because to win on the road against good teams, you either need overwhelming talent or good talent with a good plan at both ends of the floor. Maryland's hot start has been fueled by the magnificent Melo Trimble, but teams have adjusted to him, and Mark Turgeon doesn't have the coherent offense. Excuse me, I'm going slow. Going to offensive game plan if Trimble isn't producing.
Okay, good point.
For me, well, go ahead.
No, I'll say this. we all know the most important thing.
Coherence, excuse my judgment.
It's all good. We all know the most important thing come late, you know, mid-February through March, and that's guard play. And, you know, when you have a young guy like Melo Trimble, who's a freshman who had been lighting it up the past couple of weeks, the biggest thing you need for him is just to play consistently at a high level, not get too up, not get too down through the peaks and valleys. So hopefully Turgeon is able to kind of level him out over the next coming weeks, and Maryland is able to make a run, because it would be great to see, you know, all the local teams in the tournament.
It will be. I agree with George, though. Teams have adjusted to what Maryland is doing. Again, I mentioned it last week. If you look at what was going on in Maryland, they were starting after losing to – they lost to Indiana. They struggled against Northwestern. You saw what happened to Ohio State. This team isn't they're not as fluent as they were in the beginning of the season with that fast start. So it's now up to Turgeon to adjust and do other things, because Trimble's he's a freshman, all right? So he is who he is. He's still balling. They got Wells and Trimble. You have the pieces to produce and win in the Big Ten. Now it's up to Turgeon to adjust to what these other teams are doing to Maryland. I think once they do that, once he does that, Maryland will be fine. Maryland's going to be a tournament team. The resume is nice enough for them to get into the tournament, unless they go on to a catastrophic losing streak that we can even think of them as a bubble team. But for them to do damage in the tournament, Mark Turgeon is going to have to adjust to what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the bigger knocks against Mark Turgeon over during his time in Maryland, is not being able to make proper adjustments in game, and been able to kind of, with the talent he has, put them in the best position to win. So it'll be interesting to see how he changes it up over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and real quick, my man George actually on our Twitter page. He said, in terms of the Virginia, he said their response to Duke's loss last night in Chapel Hill left more convinced that they can win the national championship. Speaking of Virginia, since they lost, you know, losing to Duke and then following up and with a W in Chapel Hill, gave him faith that Virginia can win a national championship. Totally agree. Virginia is still they're still a strong team. That's how you bounce back.
Yeah.
All right, down in pregame. The Hoyas 15-6 and are ranked 24th in the country. They got crushed by Xavier for real. Xavier dominated that game, but they followed up by crushing Creighton on the road. They lost to Xavier. We watched this last week during the show. They lost to Xavier at the Rising Center, and then crushed Creighton on the road. Why is the team so inconsistent?
I don't know. I don't know. That's been one of the maddening things about JT3 teams since he's been in Georgetown. You know, they've never been able, outside of the team with Hibbert and Jeff Green, they haven't been able to play consistently at a high level when they have what appears to be superior talent to a large part of their opposition. So it's kind of frustrating. You know, you have Smith Rivera. You have what's the other Josh Smith. You know, so those two guys are two of the better players in the Big East and the whole Big East Conference. And for this team to not be able to perform consistently, maybe it's an attitude adjustment maybe needed, or I don't know. But you know, as a Georgetown fan, I'm not sweating it just yet. But you know, I do want to see this team start to get on a roll and put together some back to back big victories. As we start to go down, as we head into the middle of February.
Well, all right, in other years, the Hoyas have been more of a perimeter-based team. Still a perimeter-based team right now to a certain extent, but they do have the big man, Josh Smith. And the reason why, to me, they're inconsistent is that they don't feed the post enough. I mean, JT3 is so stubborn with the Princeton offense. He neglects Josh Smith at times. This is a guy that, other than the bigs in Kentucky, there aren't that many individuals that could stay with Josh Smith down low on the block. He could score at will. A big man with big touch, a legitimate 6'10 dude. Obviously, he's a big guy, and him running the floor is a problem. But still, while you have him on the floor clogging space, you might as well utilize him. Don't have him atop the free throw line trying to run the Princeton set all the time.
Yeah, once again, it's just another example of a coach who truly believes in this system. You know, sometimes you have to, and I think he does do a good job to adjusting to the talent that he has, but you got to be able to sometimes go away from what you know and you're familiar with and start to implement some things that really highlight the talent that you have in those key strategic stretches down in the middle of a gameplay.
Like you said, like the Xavier game, the Hoyas are more talented than Xavier to me, watching what they have in terms of the young freshman talent. But you see the Xavier's playing good in terms of the perimeter. You have the biggest mismatch on the floor with Josh Smith. Go down on Josh Smith and let him do work. You saw that you lost this. You got blown out by Xavier at Xavier. You were getting dominated against Xavier at home. Where's the adjustment? Where's the adjustment?
True, you didn't see it.
You know what I mean? So that's my thing about Coach Thompson. Again, he just more. You know, he's stubborn with his own system, but we'll see how the Hoyas are. I am afraid this team will have an early exit in March because this team doesn't have. I'm not looking at that consistent Georgetown play of a team that can actually win a couple games in the tournament. I'm looking at a team that could be a 3 seed and get knocked off by Ohio State. I mean, by Ohio again.
Yeah, well, true. True. That's one of the things that this team is vulnerable. Like I said, I just want to see consistent, strong basketball down the stretch end. I want to see a couple of victories against strong opposition, and also in a tournament. I don't want to see them going out the first day or two. You know what I mean? In the Big East tournament.
Yeah.
I want to see, you know, a potential run to at least the semifinals.
That's what we want to see anyway. But let's go down to pregame, go to the NFL. Johnny Manziel enters a treatment to improve himself.
Where do I start? I think it's a good thing that he can admit he has problems, and he can admit that he needs to improve those issues so he can be a better person. You know, become a better professional, a better son, you know, all the things, you know, all the multi facets that he plays in his life, he's able to be better at. But, you know, you got to ask yourself this. If he takes the starting job in Cleveland, you know, this is the thing. Well, let me rewind. I think that he shouldn't rush to get back. And I think the Cleveland Browns organization should make that very clear. Be adamant about that. Don't rush to come back and play football. Take care of you. You be the best you could be. And then if and when you are able to come back into the fold and you've kind of gotten over your demons, then we'll welcome you back into our organization with open arms, and we'll try to put together a program to ensure that you stay on the road to sobriety. Because we all know that, you know, it doesn't take, you know, dealing with the public and dealing with the press, especially him being a savior per se in Cleveland. You know, it could be hard, you know, if he's dealing with issues and could possibly cause a relapse. So I just, you know, I hope for him and the people around him, they make sure that he comes back. He takes the time to become the best person that he could be and put football and everything else second.
Well, first off, I want to give the young man some props that he's mature enough to know that he needs help. But at the same time, I will say this, that him as a football player, he doesn't wow me. I don't think he's anything special as a football player. But him trying to get himself situated as a man, as a person, as a human being, I'm a fan of it. I'm glad for him, happy for him. I don't see how it's going to really change his playing in the football field. This is my opinion. Maybe you have something to add to it. Do you think it's going to change him in terms of football player? I think he is who he is.
Yeah, I mean, thus far, we haven't seen anything. And although it's been extremely limited, it's very small sample size, we haven't seen anything that he's done on the football field that would make us believe that, you know, he's destined to be the savior of this, or turn things around in Cleveland. Like I always said, they should have went with Teddy Bridgewater, but that's neither here nor there.
Or they should have just traded for Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. But like I say, I do wish the young man the best. He does have some talent, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, if he exercises these demons, does that help him become a better football player?
Yeah. And I wish the best for him. I really do. I think a lot of people hate on him because he's Johnny Football and people want to see him. I think a lot of people want to see him fail, to be honest with you.
I honestly think so, too. Yeah. And you ask them the reason, they just be like, I just don't like him. Why? Yeah, what has he ever done to you?
No one brings out a legitimate reason.
Yeah.
It's not that I want to see him fail. I'm not a fan of him as a football player. I don't think he's that great. But if he makes me look bad in terms of playing great football, I'm not going to hate. I think he does have some talent. I don't think he's just a quote unquote elite, will be an elite quarterback.
Yeah. I just don't think he was worthy of, what was it, 22nd overall
not at all.
Pick.
I thought it was a second, third round pick at best.
Yep.
So all props to him. I hope he does right. Hope his career. I hope he does right in his personal life. Put it that way. His personal life. All right, let's go down to pregame. Warren Sapp.
Another man who has an addiction.
We talked about Greg Anthony not too long ago. About how, you know, he was paying for that ussy.
Bad money,
Now we have Warren Sapp. An NFL Hall of Famer.
An NFL Hall of Famer.
On NFL TV. NFL Network.
An analyst on the NFL Network for their biggest show, which is their pregame show. He was arrested Monday morning, 7 a.m., Phoenix, Arizona, in a hotel for one count of soliciting prostitution and then two counts of assault against the two escorts that he allegedly, allegedly paid for sexual favors. I guess he was haggling over the price and then they became physical. One of the escorts demanded the police came. Now, you know that's something when an escort demands, like, I know I'm dead ass wrong for selling this thing, but I'm not going nowhere until the police come because you put your hands on me. What type of stuff is this? What world do we live in? First of all, I got a couple questions for Warren Sapp. You have a lot more to lose than them. You know what I mean? Because you're so high profile. You know, you have this great job at NFL Network as an analyst. Two, you're a Hall of Famer. You're a Hall of Famer. So, you know, you have a lot more to lose than these two young ladies. You should have, I mean, first of all, your first mistake was paying for that. The second one.
It really was. You want to luck into that, man. You ain't got work for it. But go ahead, Will. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you think.
Some top notch joints.
Man. Do you think, you know, you think Gary Clark was down in Phoenix playing for money? No. You think
Charles Barkley was down there?
You think Dexter Manley was down there paying for that money? No, you're a Hall of Famer. You're on TV, man. Come on, you could have met some woman at the bar. I know you got a lot of female friends that you could go through on your phone that would have been pressed to come to the Super Bowl. But no, what did you do? Dion and Mike left you alone.
For a hot second.
And then you just had to go and ruin it. Because you know Mike know where the women are.
I know. You know Mike know.
You know Michael Irvin knows. Mike know. Dion know where the women are.
Must be the money. Come on, man.
Marshall Faulk. All of them. They know. Willie McGinnis. All of them. They know the spots. They knew the spots, man. You mess it up, man. I don't think he's a bad person at all.
No, I don't think he's a bad person.
He's made a couple of bad mistakes. You know, it was reported late yesterday that he lost his job.
Yeah.
Which is sad. You never want to see anyone.
And he's good at his job.
Yeah, he's entertaining at his job. Yeah. So, you know, maybe ESPN will give him a job.
Yeah, exactly. They always train people anyway.
Yeah, but sad to hear Warren Sapp. You know, this is how you go. If you never get another job in television, you know, it'll be because you paid for them.
You let your career go for that. That just sucks. Like, think about it. Like, you're that weak. It's not about being weak, because you could be addicted to sex. That's cool. But you want sap. That's coming to you. Man, Rick Ross was getting youngins. I'm sorry. Rick Ross was getting chicks.
Yeah, man.
So I mean, your size in terms of like you being like a big fat dude or something, that don't matter nowadays. Groupies out there. They all did, man.
They are, but you know, some guys maybe just get off on the control of having a paying for a woman and knowing that they she has to do whatever they want to do.
Honey, turn Ben over.
I don't know. I mean, everyone's into different things, man. You know what I mean? I just, you know, man. I wish it didn't have to be Warren Sapp, man.
I know.
He seems like a good dude.
I know. I like Warren Sapp. I mean, I liked him as a football player. Maybe they were just doing that in a U thing?
I don't know. Maybe it is a U thing, man.
That's wild, though.
That is wild, man.
I mean, think about it. He went to the U, which it was like, for him, he was like, that's football royalty, right?
Right.
You're getting groupies off the bat anyway. So he should be used to groupie love. Like, seriously.
He should. You would think he would be.
Yeah. Then from going from the U to Tampa, the transition, that's Florida. That's, I mean, that's still Florida.
Then you went to Oakland.
Then he went to Oakland. You getting bay chicks. Like, yeah, too man. Short.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know. There's nothing else. It's not a whole lot more I can say about
Warren Sapp, from the Urban Sports scene to you, man. Bad career move, man.
Terrible career move. But, you know, if you do want, you know, in your spare time to just come have a place to come talk, man, holler at us,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, man. We all about that. Like,
we all about it, man. We will definitely.
Not the paying for the.
Nah,
the
nah. We don't pay for the money.
Strip clubs and whatnot, but had a good time. But we don't do all that.
Nah, tape, that's not my thing.
Dang, it's not cool. It's not cool.
Shout the Rome.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Don't nobody know what I'm talking about.
Don't do that. They don't, though. They don't. That was a wild night. Anyway.
It was.
It's time for a commercial break. When we get back, we're talking about the Super Bowl. Obviously, a lot of people are mad or happy or whatever about what happened at the 1 yard line. So when we get back, we'll be talking about that. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
This is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
Yeah! For the first time, it's going down history, baby. New 3-6 Mafia. Featuring 8-Ball and MJG. Young Buck. It's a Tennessee thing. We gotta stay.
Say I'm the man. Ice on the wrist with the ice in the chain. Ride through the hood, yeah, I'm gripping the grain. In the same while I'm changing the lane. Eyes real tight cause I'm choking the bitch and messed up cause I'm messing with a D-boy, riding them big toys. Make your man gal wanna get on my team. She gotta give it up when she get in my car. I ain't Denzel, but I know I'm a star. Cause when I'm in the club, I be back in the bar. The VIP bar, and be buying the bar.
Yeah. DJ Paul is a dog, one you do not trust. Don't get drunk up. You leave your girl
I gotta stay fly. I love this song. I'm a big 3-6 fan. Anybody who knows me, they know that that's like my group. You know what I mean? That ignorant music. If you knew me as a person, you wouldn't think I listened to him, though. Seriously. You wouldn't.
I can't say I'm a huge fan of 3-6.
Why not?
I mean, I love Juicy J, the album, the Stay Trippy album.
Yeah.
I love that album.
Yeah, no, right.
Love that one.
So you never liked them as a group? DJ Paul, UCJ, you ain't really like them?
Man? I can't say I've sat and listened to all of their albums and know all their work. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, you do know the hit records. And
of course.
I've listened to a couple of their albums in passing, but I'm not going to say I can go down their whole catalog.
In your youth, when you used to go to clubs and stuff, they used to make people happy.
Happy is not the word I would use. I will use another adjective to describe it, but
I was trying to be PC, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
I understand, but you know, there's no denying that those guys, you know, that group was very influential in the South and throughout music, period.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, songs like Let Me See Your Tongue Ring.
Yeah.
God bless that song. God bless it. Bless it. Beautiful. Beautiful. Anyway, our phone lines are open. The number is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. You can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sportscene website, which is www.waleo.podbeam.com. Waleo is spelled W-A-L-E-O. Podbeam is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. That's .com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, even though I haven't been on there, and I was supposed to be on there last week, but now I got too busy. I'm coaching kids. It's hectic. But hopefully I'll be on this Thursday, hopefully. And the website is www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Stiller Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Stiller Fan.
Yeah, I need to holler at him, talk about some boxing.
Yeah, you should, man.
Yeah, I need to holler at him.
It's about that time now.
You know, time for what?
I mean, that boxing time, you know. Yeah, Mayweather, Pac-Man. I ain't gonna
that
get to
fight's
it.
It's not happening.
It's gonna happen.
It's not happening.
It's gonna happen.
It's not happening.
It's gonna happen. Don't
I already told you. It'll happen in December or May.
In Miami after the
okay.
I'm
telling you, the fight is not happening this year.
Gonna happen.
It's not happening.
Pacquiao Mayweather. Get your plane tickets. It's going down. Be prepared to have orgies out that thing. It's going to happen.
Wow.
That's what happens in Vegas, though.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah, I'm saying that's Vegas life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What happens in Vegas
stays in Vegas.
That's the whole little thing.
Yeah, I mean, but the orgies and stuff would be going down, but it'll be going down without that fight.
Fight going down, son.
No, it's not.
All right, man. Let's go. Let's talk about the Super Bowl. It's a great Super Bowl. The Patriots won 28-24. The Seahawks, and it was like what people thought would be a very competitive Super Bowl. You had Tom Brady, Super MVP, which I'll talk about later because I don't think he deserved it. You had Marshawn Lynch, beast mode, do his thing. Russell Wilson made plays. The defense, the vaunted Seattle defense, was pretty much shutting down the Patriots offense for most of the game until the fourth quarter. Let's go into what everybody's talking about. What were your thoughts on that last play? Curry, yeah. I was going to say something
about that. Despite what everyone else was saying, I think it was a good call. Mm-hmm. It's just that two things happened that you didn't think were going to happen, which was A, Brandon Browner holding the point of attack against Curse, and then B, what's the kid? Malcolm Butler putting his foot in the ground and driving on the ball. Haven't seen that play in practice and knowing what that play was, putting his foot in the ground and driving and coming across the face of Lockett to get that interception. I had no problem with the call because if you think about it like this, that was second down, 20 seconds left. If he throws that pass and it's incomplete, then you still have third and fourth down. So you could run the ball and you still had one more timeout. If you run the ball on third down and you get stopped, you still have one more timeout. So you call your timeout and the game comes down to what would have been something of legend, fourth down on the 1 yard line to decide the Super Bowl. It wouldn't have gotten no better than that. So I had no problem with the call that Pete Carroll made. But I do think if Russell Wilson was surveying the field, he might have called kill and ran a read option play. Because if you think about it, if you saw that left side of the defense, there was no one over there. If he had to run that read option, Dante Hightower would have had to come all the way from the middle of the field to either A, if Russell Wilson had to cap it on a read option. But I had no problem with the call. I think, you know, Pete Carroll, a lot of people blame Pete Carroll. But the biggest thing for Seattle as a team is you got to stick together. Because this is where it can become dissension between the team. And this is, you know, you have a pretty young team, a lot of young, good talent that's on the cheap. So you got to stick together as a team, because this could be one of those things that could either A, bring you together, like kind of what everyone's saying Deflategate did for New England, or it could B, tear you apart for years to come.
Yeah, a little different. I actually thought it was a bad decision. It's only because I feel like you got the best. This is 1 yard, it's the Super Bowl. If it was a regular season game, I think it would be, like you said, the smart move. New England's already conceded, in my opinion, of like, this is going to be the stop. They didn't call any timeouts. It was like, we're going to stop them here. We're not trying to save time for Brady to do anything. Like, this was it. So it was all on Seattle's offense to score the touchdown. Looking at it, he's like, to me, Marshawn Lynch is your best player. At the 1 yard line, he falls into 1 yard. I don't even play with anything. Like, I don't play with it. I'm giving the ball, period. Too many things, though. It's like, from, you know, I think it's one out of this whole season. That was the first interception at the 1 yard
line. Out of 109
line.
Passes.
Yeah, exactly. But too many fluke things can happen in terms of when you're throwing, as a quarterback, throwing the ball, a tip in the air, or, you know, the ball slipping out of his hands. There's too many things. It's easier. I mean, to me, it's harder for a running back to fumble at the 1 yard line, in my opinion, than something, you know, throwing the ball in that situation. It's the 1 yard line. Marshawn Lynch, he dives into 1 yard. Like, the most hardest person to tackle. I'm just saying, like, you don't play with the moment. That's all I'm saying. Like, because even Pete Carroll explains it, he's like, basically, like a throwaway down. If it's an incomplete pass, it's a throwaway down. But you have two timeouts. If you had one timeout, I would agree with it. But yeah, two timeouts with Beast Mode.
No,
at the 1 yard
line. They only had one
timeout. They had two timeouts.
Oh, okay.
With Beast Mode ready to go. Two timeouts would be, I'm like, to me, you don't play with it. It's the Super Bowl. It's a regular season game. You could do whatever. I don't care. Like, that makes sense. Because it's a regular season game. This is a Super Bowl. This is a guy at the 1 yard line. There's nobody better at it. Like, to me, of breaking tackles. There's no way they're going to stop him twice, in my opinion. Like, twice at the 1 yard line.
Okay, well, while you get everything set up. Well, I mean, I thought they only had one timeout left, so I could have been mistaken, you know. But, like, you know, there is something to be said if, you know, you have your best player, you want to put the ball in his hands. But also, you know, you had, I guess he wanted to go with the element of surprise.
Hello, you with the Urban Sports, eh?
Hey, this is George.
Hey, George, what's going on?
Not much. I just wanted to call and give my 2 cents on why I hated what Seattle did at the end.
All right, please, yeah, please, add on. George?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Go ahead.
All right, well, first of all, I guess this is a factor of growing up during the Joe Gibbs era. I don't ever like seeing, unless you're going to run the quarterback draw, I don't ever like seeing three wide receivers and a tight end at the 1 yard line. I just don't get that when you're 1 yard away. Large bringing in the big beast, you know, the power eye, you know, two tight ends, three tight ends, and just jam it in there. The one thing I will say to Will T's point about why it's a good play, I think when Russell Wilson has a little more experience, he'll throw that ball low, where if somebody knocks it down, it's incomplete and it's not an interception. By throwing it that ball high, that created the circumstance for it to be an interception. And I think that's purely experience. I mean, we forget this is only his third year in the league. I think that's where that play fell down on that end. But I think, considering that they got 4 yards on the first down run in a normal pro set, I would like to see them do what the Patriots do. stay in the set, don't sub, quick snap, and either sneak it in or turn around and hand it to a quick fullback lead, and I think they got the touchdown that way.
I guess, well, Wilson, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, George, I do agree with you. Russell Wilson, he did throw that ball. He did throw the place the ball at a bad spot for Lockett. You know, when you're in the red zone, it should be either in the number, it should be below the numbers or below. When he threw it that high, he gave Malcolm Butler the opportunity to come across Lockett's face, but also Lockett has the responsibility to be a little bit more physical to kind of establish his position. And you did make another great point about the quick snap, which is something they could have really utilized and probably would have caught New England off guard and possibly could have gotten a touchdown. But, you know, if it was a fifth, we'd both be drunk. You know, New England, you know, to the spoils go to Victor. And, you know, they did a great job of pulling it out and coming back from, what, like 10 points in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, 10 points. Hey, George, hey, thanks for calling in, George.
Hey, it's a pleasure to listen to you guys as always. I'm going to enjoy the rest of the show now.
All right, thank you. We appreciate you, your support.
All right, that was George, my man George.
Yeah,
hey, appreciate thanks, George. Always appreciate the support, man. Really do. But to George's point, again, I didn't think about that. The quick snap thing. I like that because you keep the same personnel out there. Again, you're going with beast mode. And you let it rock, but go in beast mode and see if they can stop him. And I would feel that would work. You had 4 yards on the first play.
Yeah, I mean, hindsight is always 20/20. It's easy for everyone to say they should have done this, they should have done that. But we aren't living in the moment. We don't have to deal with the pressure.
Yes, true.
Of everything going on, and also the confusion of everything going on in the sideline. Pete Carroll, you know. He coached a pretty good game, you know, although they did have their lapses. But something has to be said about this defense, which was possibly one of the stingiest over the past 3 to 4 years, allowing them to come back.
I will say this much about the Seattle defense, though it's an effective and no, it's a great defense. I'm not knocking. It's a great defense. But I'll be honest with you. What great quarterback other than Aaron Rodgers have they seen in that span of the streak they went on last fight? What great quarterback have they seen? And that's a hurt Aaron Rodgers, and he was still putting up decent numbers.
What you mean, this year?
No, not this year. Under the stretch, after they started struggling. If you think about it, right? Look at the division they're in. Even in the division they're in. They're going against the St. Louis Rams.
Right.
The San Francisco 49ers. We see Kaepernick has digressed tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So I just named those. And the Arizona Cardinals, who didn't have their starting quarterback for most of the season. When they did play, the Seattle Seahawks. So they haven't seen high quality quarterback play for a while.
No, they haven't. You know, and with a guy like Tom Brady, who, you know, against average defenses looks great.
Exactly.
And against a strong defense like Seattle looks good. Mm-hmm. You know, you just got to take your hat off to him. You know, Tom Brady played. He stepped up when he needed to. The rest of that Patriots team stepped up when they needed to. Belichick made adjustments. And, you know, they were able to pull it out. You can't be mad about that, even though a lot of people are.
I'm not mad. I mean, I'm not mad. Again, I just think that let me put it this way. A lot of people are talking about the one-yard play, but let's be real. Like, the pass to get them set up in that situation where was it?
Curse
caught that fluke pass. It's fluke. They shouldn't have been there. To be honest with you, it was a fluke catch.
Yeah, that was an amazing catch,
yeah,
right
but
there.
But it was fluke though. It shouldn't have happened.
I don't think it's fluke. You know, that's concentration. That's concentration, man.
If the defender pays attention, that's an incomplete pass. He runs away from it, think that it's going to hit the ground.
It is, but that just shows you never play. You play until the whistle's blown.
Exactly.
You know, even when he was down on the ground, he just concentrated. A lesser receiver. Well, I'm not going to even say a lesser receiver, but any other receiver possibly would have just been frustrated.
A less intelligent receiver?
Yeah, would have been frustrated and took his eye off the ball. But Kurt said, "Oh snap! I got an opportunity to make a play, so I'm just going to maintain my concentration on the ball." And, you know, hopefully I make this catch.
All right, so I'm sure you've heard, you know, the conspiracy theory that's out there. About,
yeah.
That's involving Russell Wilson, involving Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch. Basically, to me, to make Russell Wilson the Super Bowl MVP or the face of the Seattle Seahawks or whatever you want to call it, and not having Marshawn Lynch be the face, because we do know if he had scored that touchdown, he would be Super Bowl MVP.
Him or Lockett?
Oh, he'd be Super MVP. He saw his stats?
Yeah.
Two touchdowns? I'm sorry. Two touchdowns, 104 yards? Yeah, that's a Super MVP stat. You can't take that away from him. And then it's like, okay, how can we make this dude the face? And then you got the contract extension that's been talked to. So
and he would have had to go to Disney World.
Yeah, exactly.
You would have had to get him to do the commercial.
Yeah.
That would have been hilarious.
So that's out there. And to be honest with you, when they threw the pass, and I was like, I was so confused that Marshawn didn't get it. I was like, I could see it. Like, I thought of that. I thought of that before I even seen this article, this read. That's the first thing I thought of. Like, they ain't want him to be Super MVP.
I think you and everyone else are putting too much thought into it.
I could be, but this is my thing. When I hear Pete Carroll talk about it, though, when he made that excuse about like the throwaway down, this is what I thought. This is the first when I heard, especially when I heard Pete Carroll speak, I was like, okay. They wanted to see if they could make Russell Wilson get the touchdown. So that was the first thing. So they wanted to see if he could get the first down. If he gets that touchdown, he's Super Bowl MVP. Like, Russell Wilson's Super Bowl MVP. So if it was an incomplete pass, it's like, okay, Marshawn, it's all yours. It's all yours. Both of them are yours. We're not taking this chance. They gave Russell Wilson his chance. I feel like that's the reason why Russell got his chance, is because you could be the face, a squeaky clean image, a kid who doesn't say anything wrong. We could promote this.
I think you're thinking too much about it. Carroll thought, okay, the first thing they might think, because they had that jumbo, New England had that jumbo packaging, if you look at the personnel they had in. So he was like, okay, we're going to try to catch him off guard by throwing this quick slant pass. And if we get stopped here, third and fourth down, we're going to do what we do best, which is mash it in with Marshawn Lynch. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. I think everyone who's the conspiracy theorist and saying that the league and Pete Carroll didn't want Marshawn Lynch to be the MVP.
I think
when you're going at that moment in time, you don't have that ability to say, okay, let me put together something to screw Marshawn Lynch. I don't think that was really happening.
All I'm saying, you're your best player. It's like you play basketball, right? You play basketball. You seen it. Your best player is on the floor. He's the one he scored 30 points, right? Right? You decide, like, it's the last 20 seconds. You're going to go to your hot man. You're not going to play with it. You're going to go to your hot.
Honestly, all right, well, let me ask you this.
This is the George's point, too. About Joe Gibbs, maybe it's just Joe Gibbs. Joe Gibbs was like, if you can't stop me, I'm not gonna let you off the hook. I'm gonna go at you. If you can't stop what I'm doing, I'm gonna go at you.
All right. Well, I'm gonna use your point, your example.
Go ahead.
1994, Chicago Bulls versus New York Knicks in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
Scottie Pippen, Scottie Pippen and Tony Kukoc.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta, you know, catch him off tilt. Try something different. Even though Scottie didn't have the greatest of games that night.
That's what I'm saying.
But
my point, you understand, you're saying Scottie was a better player than Tony Kukoc. I agree.
Yes.
Okay. But I'm just saying, but at that night, that night, Tony Kukoc was doing it.
But let's not sit up here and say Russell Wilson was having a bad night.
He wasn't having a Marshawn night.
He wasn't having a career night, and neither was Marshawn Lynch having a career night.
Marshawn, 24 carries at 102. That's over 4.43 yards. That's about 4.3, I think, yards a carry. I could be wrong. It could be more than that, to be honest with you. And then a touchdown already. Or you already had him on the goal line. He already had it. Like, he scored a touchdown, the first goal line touchdown for you. Then it was like, then he scored, he had fouled 4 yards and almost scored right there for you already. He's hot. That's what I'm saying. You feed the beast. You know what I mean? I'm not no pun intended with beast mode, but you feed the beast.
No, I'm not going to sit up here and say that, you know, you shouldn't have given the ball to Marshawn Lynch. You should have, but I'm not going to sit up here and everyone say it was a terrible call and it was a conspiracy, which I truly don't believe that.
Conspiracy.
Yeah, I hear you. I think you and everybody else putting too much thought into it, man.
They didn't want Marshawn to be a hero, man. They didn't want him to be a hero. He's the villain of the story to a lot of these people. He's the villain.
You and everyone else, you're putting too much thought into it, brother.
All right, anyway. Marshawn not getting the ball. If you Marshawn, you even sign an extension in Seattle?
Of course you do. Why wouldn't you?
Because of money.
Well, Seattle has like $20 million under the cap. You're in the last year of your contract, supposedly. There are negotiations that'll give you $10 million next year.
It's 10 a year, right?
No, $10 million next year.
Okay.
If I'm him, why wouldn't I? You still have a good team, and you still have the opportunity to come back and win a championship. If you realistically look at the NFC East, let's look at your division. San Fran, I honestly think, is going to take two steps backwards with Jim Harbaugh gone. The Rams don't have a quarterback. The Cardinals, they're losing their defensive coordinator, and also they have a quarterback that really can't stay healthy for 16 games. Why wouldn't you come back and try to get this thing going again? In my opinion, now listen, you know, there's so much disrespect between him and the front office that it's uncomfortable to come to work.
Yeah, I think there's disrespect from the organization, not giving the ball on a 1-yard line. That's called disrespect. I could have been a star. You know what Mike would have made? Seriously, if I'm Marshawn Lynch, you know how big beast mode would have been? Think about it. Everybody would be getting at him like, what is he? Like, I don't know what he would have said. Where have you said something? Where have you actually spoke? You know what I mean?
I mean, he's done some interviews.
I know did you see the with him and Gronk?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, hilarious. They playing video games. That dude got YouTube it. YouTube.
I'll check it out. But from what I hear, it's just that he's just being a hard ass with the general press.
Yeah, yeah.
He does interviews, and you know, his teammates say he's a smart guy, and you know, he's a great teammate. So obviously he's just riding it. He was just riding,
of course,
riding it out on the biggest platform that the NFL has, just to enhance his brand.
Yeah, I can't knock it. I don't knock that. But he could have made more if the Seahawks worked with him, Pete Carroll worked with him, gave him the ball, he could have made more money. I don't know. I would have thought I'd be pissed off. That's my money.
Of course you're gonna be upset because you know you're if not one of the best players on that team. The team has been, you pretty much put that team on your back and took them to the next level over the past 2 years. So for them not to give you the ball in that clutch moment, of course you're going to be upset. But then I think if there's another side of it, it was only second down. You still had 20 seconds left, and you would have had, if it would have came down to it, you ultimately probably would have gotten the ball on the last two plays to seal the victory.
So he should blame Russell Wilson.
It's a team game, so you shouldn't blame.
Let's be real.
If anyone's going to take the blame, if anyone takes the blame, and he already has admitted he was wrong, it's Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
because he said he threw the ball to the wrong spot.
Yeah.
And he took his blame for that, as a leader should do.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't come out and say, I need all of my teammates to play better.
Smart. I'm not knocking him for that. He's right.
Right. Even though the defense gave up 10 minutes in the fourth,
right, I'm
10 points in
they
the fourth quarter.
They're at fault too.
He didn't. He put it all on me. He said, "I lost the game." Because, you know, that's what a true leader does.
Because when we play sports, I mean,
take notes, Robert Griffin.
And let's be real. Like when we play sports, like truth be told, the last mistake is like that's what people view as their fault. It's the last mistake. You acknowledge that. Yeah, you made a mistake too as well. But the last one is the big one. It's like, dang, if you ain't do this, we would have won the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's how it is. Now, if I'm Marshawn Lynch and I'm some of these players from Seattle, I'm going to be pissed off at Russell Wilson. Yes, I would. I would.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to hate him, but I'll be pissed off at him. I wouldn't want to see his face. And depending on the person he is, if he's the person everybody else says he is, then they're probably gonna get over it fairly quickly. Now, if he's somebody totally different, then it's going to really irk him for a while.
Yeah, but, you know, Bruce Irvin was – he came out and was pretty vocal after the game and said, what the hell were we doing? Why didn't we get a ball to Marshawn Lynch?
Yeah. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he came out after the Super Bowl and said that. But outside of that, everyone else has stood strong together. You know what I mean? Like I said, this is going to be a trying offseason for them.
But you do know, if Bruce Irvin said that means the most of the defense, they feel that way. That defense rides for Marshawn.
Yeah, they do ride for Marshawn.
They probably won't say them in public, but that's probably what they really feel in the locker room. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but they should have rolled for the team and not gave up 10 points in the fourth quarter.
No, I agree. They're not, like I think somebody said this, and I totally agree. Oh, actually, it was on one of the, I'll say it, I don't care, this ain't popular. Mike in the Morning, Greenberg said this, which I do.
Yeah, we're not competing with them.
We're not competing with them, let's be real. He said that the Chicago Bears 85 defense doesn't give up 10 points. I mean, doesn't give them that many points when their team's ahead. Or the Baltimore Ravens defense doesn't do that. So it just shows that Seattle defense is a very good defense, but it's not a dominant defense like those defenses that we seen in the past.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know, before we got into that, this is probably one of the bigger off seasons for Seattle, because if you think about it, Richard Sherman may need Tommy John surgery, and we all know that Richard Sherman likes to play press coverage. So that, you know, that elbow, we got to see how he rehabs from that. Then also, you know, you got to get a contract done with Russell Wilson. He's eligible for a contract. Marshawn Lynch. Then also, you know, having to live for the next 6 to 7 months with that loss in the Super Bowl. So this could be one of those things that either breaks them apart or drives a wedge into them, or makes them stronger as a team and as a unit, and they rebound from this.
And I will say, and I can see this down the road, though he's under contract, I can see Cam Chancellor asking for more money, holdout type money.
Absolutely.
Because he signed a deal not too long ago, he's worth more, and he knows that.
Yeah, and you got to pay back Bobby Wagner pretty soon.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Got to pay Bobby Wagner's one of those guys one of those core guys you can't let go. Mm-hmm. And then you also need to upgrade the tight end position, and you might need to get another weapon for Russell on the outside.
Yeah, but I thought about this when I had this conversation with somebody else. I think Russell Wilson works better with, like, you know, wide receivers by committee. There's no pressure to get the ball to the wide receivers. Like, you saw Percy Harvin. He had issues with Percy Harvin. You know, Percy Harvin is a different beast in terms of his attitude. But wide receivers are divas. And this team operates better when Russell Wilson's not pressured to get the ball to a top-flight wide receiver. When you have a top-flight wide receiver, you're forced to get the ball. When you got Kurse and Baldwin, and even the new kid Matthews, who played well in the Super Bowl. You're not pressured. There's no pressure to feed the beast. To be honest with you,
I totally agree with you. That and Seattle's offense works better when they can spread it around. You don't have one imminent threat. You got to defend all 52 yards across the field.
Yeah, and if you had, like, say he had somebody like an example, like a Larry Fitzgerald, he'd be forced to get Larry Fitzgerald the ball.
Totally agree with you.
Not forced to, so it works out for him. Let's go to the Patriots. Tom Brady, Super MVP. I actually have a thought process. I actually thought somebody else should have got it, but do you think he deserves Super MVP of this? Do you think he deserves Super Bowl MVP? Excuse me.
His statistics would say yes, but if you watched the game and watched his play and saw who was the most important player for that team, I would have to go with Julian Edelman. Shane Vereen had 11 receptions, and that's a guy who I said the other week, if he plays a big,
you said it. I give you credit. Yeah. You said it.
Thank you.
It's okay.
I just want to toot my own horn.
Yeah, you did.
Toot. but we'll keep it moving. I do think Julian Edelman should have been the MVP, but if we just go off the statistics,
it's the quarterback.
Just a quarterback, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, throwing the ball 50 times against the top-rated defense. Of course he was going to get it.
Yeah, 50 times. Of course your stats going to be something. You throw the ball 50 times.
Yeah. But, you know, there's still, you know, people are going to debate who's the greatest quarterback of all time. I'm not going to say this cements his spot, but it does give him a place at the table on the conversation. You know, put him up there with the Joe Montanas and some of the other great quarterbacks that we've seen. You know, it's not fair to judge quarterbacks who play in different eras, in my opinion, because, you know, the rules and the style of offenses and how the game is called. But like I said, he's definitely one of the guys in my top five, and he definitely deserves mentioned in the conversation of greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah, the reason why I wouldn't put him in, like, well, better, like, I wouldn't put it in a discussion like Joe Montana. Wouldn't even worry about that type of discussion with him. Is that Joe Montana? Again, Joe Montana, if you looked at all of his Super Bowls, he was influential in every Super Bowl. Like, he was the player in every Super Bowl, pretty much. Like, Tom Brady, you don't forget, like, his first couple Super Bowls, he was more of the manager of the team.
I mean, that first one, he definitely was.
The first was a manager. Second one gets the Panthers.
And then, Panthers. All three. Then outside of the first one, that's the only one he didn't get the MVP.
Outside, he didn't get the, I think, to me, the defenses were better in his first two.
Oh, yeah, with Corey Dillon.
Yeah, I thought, Corey Dillon, I thought the defenses were better for that team. Like, the defense alone were better for that team. The, to me, the stars were pretty much the defense on those two teams. Now, granted, he did certain things to get the MVP, but, you know, quarterbacks will always get MVP. You know what I mean? If you put up three touchdowns to a quarterback or two touchdowns, you're going to be the Super MVP. Like, as long as you don't F the game up and throw, like, four picks, you're fine. But like, you know, when you think of, like, that Joe Montana, his Super Bowl wins, he dominated. Like, he really did. He, like, dominated these Super Bowls.
Yeah, Joe Montana had record-setting on a couple of occasions, had record-setting Super Bowl performances. Tom Brady, he did set a record. He threw the ball 50 times.
It's not hard.
So that is a record.
Yeah, of throwing the ball. Anybody can throw the ball and put up garbage numbers.
Like you said, you know, winning is always going to be correlated with the play of the quarterback.
Yeah,
so when, you know, a team winning, they're victorious, is because the quarterback.
I actually thought that. I stopped.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I actually thought, like, either Edelman, you mentioned Edelman being the Super MVP, or actually the rookie Butler. I thought Butler deserved it because down that stretch, before that, but down that stretch, even with the miracle catch of a curse, that dude balled during that stretch, and then he got the game winning interception. He was impressive.
Yeah,
I thought he could have been Super Bowl MVP.
It was. He played a strong game, and to me, going back to that last play, what's even more surprising was Revis in the game. I don't even think Revis was in the game at that point.
If he wasn't on the other side,
huh?
Was there a wide receiver on the other side?
I don't think so.
I gotta look at it, but I'm not sure.
I don't think.
I mean, Revis wasn't attacked by nobody. If you look, Revis didn't get no work in the Super Bowl. At all.
I mean, you know, outside of Doug Baldwin when he scored that touchdown.
Was that on Revis? You sure it was on Revis? I thought it was 25. I don't think it was Revis.
No, Revis was lined up on him when he beat him touchdown.
Was it Revis?
When
it was 25. They were 25.
Okay. I mean,
I'll check the highlight. I'm
pretty sure it was Revis.
I could be wrong. It's not like I'm always right. Hey, George, I know you're listening. Was that Revis who got beat?
I think it was Revis who got beat because Baldwin was smart enough to use the ref.
He said, hold on. He told me. Hold on. Revis was beat on the touchdown ball. But that was because the ref.
Yeah, because of the ref.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, because the pick play.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, thanks, George. Appreciate
thanks, it. George, for listening. settling that debate. Speaking about Revis, he did what he came for. He wanted to get a ring.
He got it.
He has a $20 million option for next year, which we all know New England isn't going to pay. So now he becomes a mercenary for hire.
Yeah.
So he got the thing that has a – Revis, it was a win-win for him because, you know, yes, he took a slight pay cut from the $16 million that Tampa Bay was supposed to pay him to $12 million. Oh, wow.
I feel so sorry for him.
Yeah, I feel so sorry for him that – you know, losing that $4 million, but he came for a ring, he got the ring, and now he has his out for next season. So he pretty much can cement himself as a Hall of Famer because he has that one elusive ring and you know his play on the field. And now he still can sign him a contract and see every dollar of it, which he has been doing since he's been in the NFL.
And Buffalo, and the Jets are interested in him.
Think if he goes to Buffalo with all those pass rushers.
Oh my god! It'd be sick.
It would really be sick.
That Revis thing is really like Revis. And let me go to my next point. So, do you think the Patriots can repeat? Because I think if they don't get Revis, they don't sign Revis, they can't repeat.
I totally agree with you. No Revis, you don't repeat. It'll be interesting to see because we all know that Belichick. When it comes to cutting players, he's always going to get rid of you 1 year early rather than one year late.
Uh-huh.
And he always likes to make additions to the team. Excuse me. So it'll be interesting to see what they do in this offseason, see how Bill Belichick, we know he's not going to be suffering from that Super Bowl high too long
because
when it comes to making personnel decisions.
He's all about getting with W's. He's all about, well, not W. He's all about find the least expensive way, but to still win. He has a great system.
And if you think about it, he has a lot of undrafted free agents. So he gets guys that have to prove, bless you, that have to prove themselves and are hungry. And I think, which is in any profession, anything you do, you want guys that wake up kind of with a chip on their shoulder and feel the need to prove themselves. But crazy. No problem.
Oh my gosh, this cold is starting. I think I'm starting to get cold. Oh, it sucks. It really sucks. Real quick though, so all right, Super Bowl's over. It's gonna be a new season. But right now, who would be the favorites to go to next year's Super Bowl?
If you ask, if right now, I gotta pick Seattle.
All right, Seattle.
And I gotta go with New England again. I mean, I'm interested to see how the Gary Kubiak thing plays out in Denver.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, a minor adjustment here, a minor adjustment there, Denver is still able to get back in this thing. But you have to ask me right now, I'm definitely going with Seattle out of the NFC. And I'm going with New England.
This is going to be a shocker. You know what I mean? Cause I'm not going to allow myself to pick my Washington Redskins because right now I want to. I usually do this every year, but I'm going to change tunes next year. I'm going to say the Redskins going. Next year I'll be like, the Redskins will be undefeated. But right now at this point in time, I'm upset with my team. I'm going to Detroit Lions if they can sign Sue back. I like what they did with Golden Tate. You know, I think they'll be hungry after they got cheated by the Cowboys. Talking to the Lions, and I will go with the. Yeah, Greg, I gave you Greg. If you listen to the show, man, I just gave your team some props. And I'm gonna go with the. I think it's Darrell Revis, the Buffalo Bills.
Wow. Okay.
I'm going out.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, they get Revis, and they, depending on the quarterback they bring in,
I mean,
that's the position their way of winning.
Yeah, the I mean, to me, the guy in D.C. who's a backup now, he goes to Buffalo on that team.
Oh, Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
That'd be great. That'd be true because all you need.
So he already has a top-line wide receiver, Sammy Watkins.
You got the running backs. You got two running backs.
You got Fred Jackson, C.J. Spiller. You got a defense that's going to turn the ball over and get you off the field on third down.
Yeah, and they already tried. If you put Revis out there in the market, they're going to get Revis. To me, Revis will choose Buffalo over the Jets because the Jets aren't going to win. Buffalo's going to win.
Yep.
So you put him on the market, and if Buffalo is serious like they've been clamoring about Revis with Mario Williams, from Bama, went to Bama.
Marcel Darius.
Marcel Darius. It's deep. They deep.
Yep.
So it would be something special. So you have a repeat, and I went brand new. So you were safe, and I was rogue.
Yeah, I went safe, but like I said, I got to see how the draft and see how free agency pays out. Plays out, and you never know.
Anyway, it's time for a commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking NBA, who got snubbed in the All-Star game, and as you know, all NBA segments are dedicated to our homie Ron. So Big Ron, we call it Mega's NBA. So it's the Urban Sports Saying
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
My life is full of statistics. Thing is, I could have dropped out of school and become one myself. But I didn't, because I had people that believed in me. Here's another statistic. 7,000 students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. It's time that students know that we believe in them.
Inspire a student and share your message of support at boostup.org.
A lot of the real G's showing love, you know what I'm saying? I really appreciate that. All the boys be coming out. All my homegirl be showing love. But a lot of folk, man, they still be looking like they don't know who I'm here. So let me tell them who I'm here.
Rubber band, man, wild as the Taliban. Rose on my right, 50 large in my other hand.
Who I'm here?
I'm in trouble, man. I always in trouble, man.
Worth a couple hundred grand.
Chevy's all colors, man.
Like a one-man band. Treat these rappers like the Apollo, and I'm the Sandman. stole 100 grand. Got sand in the waistband. Looking for a sweet lick, but this is the wrong place, man. Seven times shout, but I care about a case, man. I'm campaigning to bury the hate, so say your grace, hey, man. I don't fall behind a sucker back, I say it in his face. I'm a thoroughbred shouter, I don't fake it, now I don't hate. Check my resume, shout it. My records impeccable. Hey, anywhere in the A, shout it. My tip is high to respect. Hey, and it on my A, shout it. Trying to keep it professional. Out of tongue, rest the better have it snapping. I'm telling you, run the bottom up the Duval, pack a lack of the new y'all. And everybody showing me, Lord, it's when the you all. Yeah, call my Florida folk, my Cackalacky folk, my LA folk, and my New York folk, and everywhere in between. Hey, I love y'all, y'all. Band, man, wild as the Taliban. Rose on my right, fit the large in my upper hand. Hey, I'm in trouble, man. I always in trouble, man. Worth a couple hundred grand. Chevy's all colors, man. In trouble, man. Stayed in some trouble, man. Some still hating no shouters, but they some suckers, man. Got a couple fans that love to do nothing other than some showing up free. But still, I love a man. Dig it, little pimpin', got the mind and the muscle. Stay down on his grind, put the crown on the hustle. Hey, I can show you how to juggle anything and make it dope.
All right, we back. Rubber Band Man, T.I., it's my homie.
Boing.
And shout out to my homegirl, Stacey, man, who listens to the show right now. You know I hate Tom Brady. I ain't going to change that. Me and Tom Brady don't get along, even though he went to my university, Michigan. I didn't go to Michigan, but still, that's my football team. So shout out to Stacey. Tom Brady sucks, though. I don't love him.
I can tell.
I don't. Again, shout out to Tom Brady and Stacey. Anyway, man, thanks for listening to Urban Sports. See, our phone lines are open. The number is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. I mentioned us talking about the NBA All-Star snubs. Before we get into all that, we're going to talk about the Washington Wizards, the local team out here in the DMV. The Wizards lost to the Bobcats 92-88 over the weekend. Bradley Beal had some strong words to say. He said, right now, at the moment, the Wizards are pretty soft. Do you agree with that? Because I didn't see the game against Charlotte, but I do have an opinion of some of the players on the Washington Wizards.
Well, I'll say I think they're starting to look mentally soft because when they start to get down, when they get in when there's a large deficit, the body language changes. Outside of one guy, probably Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce is the one guy who has like that, and John Wall too. Who has that confidence to be like, come on, guys, let's suck it up. Let's batten down the hatches and get back in this thing. But I agree with Bradley Beal. I think mentally they're soft. They're starting to exhibit some traits that concern me, you know, as we go into the second half of the season after the All-Star break. But, you know, this team is one of the more talented teams in the East. But they do have to be aware of, you know, that team in Cleveland starting to surge, starting to get things together.
Oh, they balling.
Yeah,
balling.
When they got Mozgov and, you know.
J.R. Smith
has been, and Shumpert, his defense on the wing, he's giving them something that they haven't had, which they would have had if they hadn't got rid of Wiggins, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, the Wizards need to watch out because you know they're still in a position where they can either be the second team, the second seed in the be one of the top four seeds in the East, or they can slip into the number five position.
They're always been they'll be the top 14. I don't really have to worry about that. But I do agree with you. You losing to the Charlotte Bobcats. Sorry, but Charlotte Hornets. I said Bobcats. Did I say the Bobcats earlier though? The Charlotte Hornets. Oh my God! Excuse my language, my basketball savvy. To lose to that team, a struggling team, and knowing with the talent that the Wizards do have, that does have to say they're mentally soft, or they took that team for granted. They lost to the Hornets in Charlotte to be a little different, because it's on the road, but you lose to this team at home. Which to be honest with you, they don't have a true superstar other than I could say Al Jefferson, but he's not a superstar. Al Jefferson is more of a star player.
Al Jefferson is a star player.
He's a star player, and but you have bigs to bother him though. You have bigs to go at him. So to lose to that team, knowing you have John Wall, Bradley Beal, it's shocking. Now I will say this though, and I've always said this about the Wizards. I'm not a Nene. To me, is a soft big. I'm going to say this again. I've been saying it for a couple of years. Any big that struggles to get 10 rebounds at 6'10 with his size He's about 6'11", with his size and his build. And for him to struggle to get 10 rebounds is atrocious to me.
That has been one of the things that's baffled me. Nene is a guy who's, he is a big physical presence.
Yeah.
And he averages like 6 or 7 rebounds, which kind of baffles me because he plays on the high post a lot in their offensive sets. Why he isn't going down to the block and getting, you know, those tough offensive and defensive rebounds that this team needs. But a guy who does bring that and is far from soft, but a lot of people probably thought he was soft.
Chris Humphries.
Chris Humphries is tough. I love that acquisition.
Chris Humphries is tough. Again, like to your point. All right, on the offensive rebound side of it, yeah, he shoots Jay, so now he's away from the basket. But even as a defensive rebound, he's pathetic. He's down there in the block trying to get – you don't see the true effort. And it's funny because when he first broke into the league, that's what he did. He was a rebounder.
Yeah, he was very physical presence, man. He was a bully down on the block.
Yeah.
Not so much right now.
So I see what Bradley Beal's talking about within soft. Mentally soft, though, yeah, obviously Paul Pierce is tough. I think John Wall is tough because, to me, John Wall is mentally tough because he's a guy that people talk about his jump shot and doesn't bother him. You can see that he consistently takes the shot regardless. I think Humphries is tough. I mean, Humphries is very tough.
Humphries is
very tough.
Be honest with you, I wouldn't be mad if they got rid of Nene and went – Well, nah.
No, I think they should get rid of Nene and go with Humphries as a starter. I'm not arguing with you. And then have Seraphim. Let Seraphim play. I think Seraphim's tough, too. I think Seraphim's mentally weak.
If anything, move Seraphim. I mean, because his value is high right now. There's a lot of executives around the league and all about his offensive production down on the post. But the thing with Kevin Seraphim, it's a black hole once he gets the ball in the post. It's not coming back out. Mm-hmm. It goes in. It's not coming out. But, yeah, I wouldn't be – if Chris Humphries were to be the starting power forward, I would not be mad. John Wall, the one thing that frustrates me that he still continuously does is jumps to make passes and doesn't have anywhere to go, which creates to a lot of turnovers. But, you know, you got to take the good – you got to take the bad with the good. The good is he's a one-man fast break. He's a guy who – improving on his decision making and is improving on his jump shot and his defense. He's one of the better defensive point guards in the league.
No, again, I like what John Wall has to bring to the table. He's tough. I think he's mentally tough. Going back to the whole thing, there's only a couple. I think to me, Otto Porter's tough. I don't think he's soft because he's a glue guy. I'm biased, so he's a Georgetown guy. Gortat ain't soft to me.
No, Gortat isn't soft to me either, but for $12 million, I've always said $12 million for a 30-year-old plus center, that's not that good of an investment to me. But
can they get tougher? If they're soft, can they get tougher? And how could they get tougher?
Toughness is a mental thing exactly. More than physical anything, so I guess he would – and one thing, what we see it with Seattle Seahawks. What is their toughness derived from? Competition.
Competition, yeah.
So maybe Randy Whitman, he increases the level of competition during practices during the week. Mixes up the scrimmages, mixes the ones and twos together. And he starts to, you know, send a message by saying, Chris Humphries, you're our starting power forward now. Nene, you're coming off the bench until you give me exactly it is what I need. Mm-hmm. But that's a double-edged sword because to me, Nene, he's one of the smarter offensive players that they have.
He is, definitely.
But it's just, like we said, it's kind of frustrating to see a guy who's that physical and who's had a history
of being
a banger down on the block, average like 13 points and 7 rebounds.
Yeah, the points don't even bother me.
Me neither. It's the
rebound.
It's the rebounding.
Like Charles Barkley always said, if you're over 6'10", you should get 10 boards. You should average 10 boards easily. You just should. Yeah, Especially with his build, he should get it. But, again, rebounding is want and desire. We see how Kevin Love goes about it. So.
Yeah, that's just what I was about to say. You took the words out of my mouth. Rebounding isn't a skill. It's want and desire. The only thing you need, the only skill, and it's not even a skill, is anticipation. You need to know what side the ball is coming off. You need to be able to project what side the ball is coming off and box out and then hustle. to get the rebound. So, I mean, it's not a science to rebound.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so real quick, I'm gonna know, like trying to look down the pregame. So yes, so they can't get tougher. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think they are who they are. They're not gonna make any acquisitions. They are who they are.
No, they are who they are, and quite frankly, I wouldn't want Ernie to make any acquisitions because he could possibly ruin this thing.
Because Ernie's doing a great job right now as a Washington.
He's got this team. I will not take anything away from him.
I want to hear this.
I will not take it. He did a great job of fixing his errors. He did a great job of fixing his error. It's like he started the fire out back in the grill and started to spread through the house, but he got the big fire extinguisher and put it out. And then he went back out and he rebuilt the house.
That is a backhanded compliment.
It's not, man. It's the truth.
Hey, man. You the man, man. Will T the man. He the man, though. That's my homie, though.
Nah,
my homie, Honey Grant.
I have nothing personally against Ernie Grunfeld. I'm a Knicks fan also, so I know the Ernie and Bernie show.
It was Ernie and who was it? Was it Bernard King.
Yeah, Bernard King. So no, I know his. I know his history. I know what he's done as a GM in this league. But I'm just being a fan that's being truly subjected. You know, he created a fire and he put it out, and he done a great job of putting it out and rebuilding the house.
He's done a good job.
His drafting leaves a lot to be desired, and some of his other moves.
Yeah, he's done a fair job.
Yes,
he's done a fair job. All right, let's go to the All Star game. All Star team, the whole team was selected. Will and I were during last week's show. We was talking about guys who should make the All Star team as reserves. But they're out. These are the snubs that I've actually pulled out. You had Mike Conley Jr., Damian Lillard. I'm gonna say that again. Damian Lillard didn't make the All Star.
All right. Well, let me
Monte
say that.
Monte Ellis and Brandon Knight. Will's Brandon Knight.
Okay. Let's say you go with Damian Lillard. Who do you take off? I mean, it's easy for me. Taking Kobe off.
I'm taking Boogie. Kobe's not gonna be there. He's not gonna play.
Well, yeah, I mean, but he was still voted in. So if I had to take off, if I was going to add Damian Lillard, I would definitely take Kobe out.
Okay, you're taking Kobe off. That's given. But what's name taking Kobe's spot though?
Who?
Oh, sorry, his Kobe spot's already, like, they're giving that to Boogie.
He deserves it.
I'm taking Lillard off over Boogie.
Tim Duncan's having a pretty strong year.
Yeah, Tim Duncan. I'm putting Boogie over Tim Duncan.
Yeah, me too. That's what I was about to say.
Tim Duncan's not even making it.
Yeah, Tim Duncan wouldn't even make it. I understand you have to reward the players who play on teams that are successful, and that's part of the reason Tim Duncan made it. But I'm taking Boogie, DeMarcus Cousins, over Tim Duncan.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm with, like I know what you're saying. Yeah, Boogie replaces Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
If I'm Tim Duncan, I'm appalled that he even picked me and I'm sitting out. Because he doesn't deserve to make it over Boogie. And Damian Lillard is an all-star. He's I like Mike Conley Jr. because he keeps getting snubbed. I think he should make an all-star team, but I'm scared he'll never make one. But Boogie should make it. Boogie should make it over Tim Duncan, and Lillard should make it over
Kobe.
But it's Westbrook made it, right?
Westbrook
made it. I wanted to make sure. Westbrook
and Durant made it.
Yeah. If I wanted to argue, KD may not have, really, to be honest with you, KD's a face of the NBA. It's one of the many faces of the NBA.
He didn't play enough games.
You could say he doesn't deserve it either.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. A case could be made for that. I don't think there's anyone else in the West that I think is a clear cut omission.
Monte Ellis?
Yeah.
Not clear cut though. I think Damian Lillard is the clear cut to me. Like, he should, because Boogie's in. Boogie's in already.
Yeah. Yeah. Both Damian Lillard definitely, and you know, if there wasn't an injury to Kobe with DeMarcus Cousins didn't get put in.
Yeah, that's true.
I would say those are two the head and shoulders above any other players on that Western Conference team that were snubs.
Yeah, I agree. So let's go to the Eastern Conference. I don't think the Eastern Conference had that many snubs, but I could be wrong. I just like Brandon. I like your Brandon Knight thing. I thought Brandon Knight deserves to make it.
Yeah, I thought he did too. You know, just what he's doing, and you know, and how he's helping that team go above and beyond what anyone expected. Who else? Dwayne Wade, didn't he make the All-Star
made it.
Team?
Dwayne Wade made it.
Yeah, he
and
made
Chris
it.
And Chris Bosh made it.
And Chris Bosh.
Chris Bosh has his stats actually do deserve.
Chris Bosh is definitely
Dwayne
deserving.
Dwayne Wade's stats, I'm not sure of.
They're decent.
Yeah, decent, but he's like on and off. He plays, he doesn't.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people who are making a statement, making a case for Kyle Korver.
No, I'm not going that far. Yeah, I think I like Kyle Korver. I wouldn't put him over Brandon Knight. I would put him over Brandon Knight. I'm glad for Atlanta team. Like I said, Teague made it. I'm happy that Teague made it. He deserved it. I knew Horford and Millsap were going to make him. I'm glad Teague made it. I'm trying to think of anybody else. I think the East is pretty much cut clean.
You
could say you could make it. You could make an argument for Marchand Gortat. His stats for a center.
Nah, you could make it for Vujicic.
Vujicic for Toronto. No, for Orlando.
You could definitely make the case for him.
Actually, that's a good one.
You could definitely make a strong case for him for being a starting center.
Yeah, that's true.
But outside of that, there's no one in the East who I'll say is definitely. I'm pounding the table because they got snubbed. I understand people making the case for Kyle Korver shooting 50% from the three-point line,
but nothing special.
50% from the field, but
you got to put it. You got to me for a guard to be an all-star. You got to drop 20. As a guard, you got to drop 20. A swing man, play this 20, like 12 points a game. That's not all-star mentality.
Mm-mm.
It's not. Not for a guard.
It's
not for a swing man. Not for a 2-3. Nah, not at all. But let's go into some other news. I heard this today. Matter of fact, Paul George, who had that ugly knee injury in the USA tournament, was it basketball tournament?
Yeah,
world tournament for the USA basketball team.
Tournament of champions.
Something like that. He had an ugly injury. Jacked his leg.
Broke his leg.
Actually, reports are that he can come back maybe next month, I heard.
If I were him, and if I understand Larry Bird, who's the president of the Pacers, said if he wants to come back and he's healthy, we're going to let him play. But there's no way in hell I allow him to suit up during this season. If anything, he can play some in practice, you know, go through some of the light contact drills, you know, get a lot of extensive rehab and conditioning time and practice, but it's no way in hell I let him set foot on the floor because it's a lose-lose. A, you know, even though every team wants to win and we don't, you know, as much as people don't want to believe in teams tanking, but the reality is in today's NBA, teams tank. Indiana's a team that, you know, if you add another piece, could potentially be better off. If you let Paul George not come back this season, two, you don't know what type of Paul George you're going to get, you know what I mean? So if he comes in and he plays and he does some more damage to that leg, you know, you're worse off than you were earlier this last summer when he broke his leg.
It's just simple to me. This team is bad. It's not a good team right now. Why waste his time? Waste a chance of I say pure health? Like this dude can sell this season be 100%. You get the same Paul George. You get the Paul George you had last season. He can do work, and this team could be a playoff. This team could be fighting for the Eastern Conference representative of the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. So why would you even chance that? Let him sit. We saw what happened here in DC with Gilbert Arenas when they rushed him when he got rushed back. Not they, but he got rushed back. He was never the same. You don't play with your leg injuries. I love what Derrick Rose did with his knee injury. Anytime he thought he was his leg hurt, he sat out. That's what's supposed to happen.
Derrick Rose said, "F all of y'all. I got this guaranteed contract. I'm gonna come back and be the Derrick Rose of old."
That's what he wanted.
And I'll be back when I get back. I don't care what the fans or the organization and my teammates play. I know my body, and I'm gonna come back when I'm playing at a level that's consistent with Derrick Rose.
If people like Chris, if people like Vince Carter. Jason Kidd, Chris Webber. If they listened to somebody, if they did the same thing that Derrick Rose did, their careers would be totally different.
Grant Hill.
They would still be playing basketball. They would be Tracy McGrady. They would be playing basketball at a high level in their older years if they did what Derrick Rose did. So to me, Paul George would be doing himself a big disservice by coming back early.
Totally agree with you, man. Totally agree.
Glad you agree with me. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, man. Let's end the show on us agreeing.
Yes, we are. We're going to go hard in paint as soon as I pull up the audio. And you're going to start it off first, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's how we going down.
That's how we going down. That's how it's going down. Son.
It's coming on right now.
That beat dropped?
It dropped.
All right. I don't got my headphones on. Are you ready for me?
Yeah, go ahead, son.
I'm going to go with a guy who's had a subpar season, who's actually coming off of an injury, and who's lost his starting position. I think this guy's going to rebound over the second half of the season. What? And that guy that you're asking who that guy is?
Yeah, who is he?
Darren Williams.
He lost his starting position?
Yeah. Jared Jackson.
Wow.
Point guard for Brooklyn Nets.
The mighty have fallen.
Yeah, they have. And, you know, I've been very vocal in my belief that he isn't the best point guard, as some people have said on this show.
In the past, you mean,
yes,
right?
In the past. Okay. But I do
I
think
it wasn't me.
I do think that he'll rebound this week and he'll have a strong comeback. So I'm picking Darren Williams to go hard in the paint.
That is a good one. Trying to think of who I want to go hard in the paint. All right, you know what? I know what you used. I'm a fan of this individual. Played for the Miami Heat. He played on the national championship team, UConn Huskies. You know what I mean? As soon as I can remember his name, though.
Shabazz
Thank
Napier.
You. You know, I be having moments, son. Yeah, it's called this code. Shabazz Napier. Especially if like I'm just seeing him play right now.
I know.
That's the sad thing about it. But I think it looks like the Heat are going to get more time. This guy, to me, is a scorer. He's a guy who could do damage. If the Heat could just utilize him. Obviously, he's being coached by a terrible coach named Eric Spoelstra.
Come on,
but
man.
But his talent is so real, man.
I'm going to have to go with Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah, I know he sucks. That's why we're seeing how bad he is in the Eastern Conference. And he can't even get over a team with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh with 500. He's an excellent coach.
Okay.
You think he's a great coach?
I'm not saying he's a great coach. I think he's a decent NBA coach.
Yeah, he's a bad NBA coach.
Okay.
You know what I changed up, but I don't want him anymore. I don't want Shabazz. I know who I want. I'm going with man Marcus Smart, yo. That's my dude.
Just because the stat line flashed across the
TV. No, that was actually Bradley's stat line flashed on TV. I'm going to go. I changed my mind. I'm going with man Marcus Smart because Rondo's gone. He's better than Rondo. I'm going with Marcus Smart going hard to paint.
All right, that's a good pick, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, man. It's been a great show. But
it has been.
An awesome show. Again, I want to obviously this NBA segment is always tribute. Always dedicated to my man Mega. Who loved basketball. This time, like Will said before, last show, Will said like this is like Mega's time in basketball. Everything's heating up, and obviously March Madness is coming right around the corner. Yep. So Mega, this would be Mega's time, man. Love you, Mega. Thanks for being a great inspiration to us and many people. I've learned that just by talking to people. So we appreciate it. Also, again, I want to give a big shout out to my one of my good friends, coworkers who passed away. Her name Bell Waring, great an inspiration to me as a person. Because of her, I try to make myself a better person within work and even outside of work. She taught me there are real genuine people in this world that aren't about themselves but always are about others rather than being considered about what's going on in their day to day lives. So I really appreciate that.
Yep.
But anyway, man, it's great doing the show. Always a pleasure doing the show, my man, Will T.
Always is, man.
You know what I'm saying? The great Will T, man. That's what I call him, man. Now he's famous. He has people calling Will T. I agree with Will T. My man famous now.
Nah, I'm not.
Think
famous,
about this.
Man.
When we started this years ago, you would never have somebody say, like, I agree with Will T. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, it's cool to come on here every week, every Tuesday, and talk sports with your friends and just, have people take the time out of their day and just tune in and listen to us two regular Joes just talk about sports, man. So it is cool, man.
Yeah, it's a blessing.
And we do appreciate it.
We definitely do it. All right, man. We about to be out. It's the Urban Sports Site.
For ages.
You dig?
Stop being for that boy.
Hey, Mega, take us out, homie.